Good morning. It's January 1st, 2021. New Year's Eve has never really been one of my favorite nights. You know, when you were younger, you made big plans. You know, you're all going to be together. You're going to be going to great parties and this, and the menus were always double of what they normally were. And you got dressed up and you ran around and you stayed out all night in your party hats. And it was fun for that stage of your life. And then things got a little quieter as you got older, and maybe it was a small gathering of friends and neighbors and people who you really just wanted to bring in the new year with. And then it even got slower than that when you didn't even think about it. It was just another night that happened to fall at the end of the year. And, you know, maybe you went out for a quiet dinner with your immediate family, or a friend or neighbor or something who really just kind of wanted to hang out and not go through the whole big megillah of New Year's. And then pandemic hits and, you know, you really have to always change again. And you're not with your family and friends, even in a big way, even in a small way, even in any way in some cases. So certainly 2020, New Year's Eve, is going to be 2020, a clear visual, 2020 vision about how things have changed in our world. 1 year ago, on 2019 New Year's Eve, I had the pleasure of celebrating it with four generations in our family. Went to the Capitol Grill in Garden City, a favorite restaurant for our family, with an early dinner because we were blessed that we had two of our grandchildren, Hannah and Leah. Hannah was just a few months old, and she slept through the whole meal like a little angel. And Leah was there, sitting next to Grandpa Kenny, and it was a lot of fun. And I was there with my wife, Ronnie, and my daughter, Emily, and her husband, Aaron. And we were blessed to have our mother-in-law, my mother-in-law, Grandma Annie, and great-grandma Gigi there for all of us. So it was four generations, and it was so special. And the night was wonderful, beautiful dinner, nice conversation. And it was over early, and, you know, they said, hey, do you want to come back to our house to watch the ball, you know, drop? And I said, you know, I'm kind of tired. And, you know, the ball dropping, I don't even know. I'm kind of at a stage where I don't even stay up till 12 o'clock. I said, I'll just head home and you can go to Emily's house and enjoy the rest of the evening and watch the ball drop. And I'll see you tomorrow. Wishing them all a happy new year. Give a big hug and kiss to everybody and go home. And I get home around 9 o'clock. I'm sitting there, you know, you're watching all of the Dick Clark, Ryan Seacrest stuff, and all the performers. And it's great. And I'm sitting around and watching. And at about 11:30, I get a call on my cell phone, and it's one of these no caller, you know, ID things. Maybe it's some scam. I said, what the hell? I got nothing else to do. I'll answer. And it was my doctor, Dr. May Lu, who I had seen at 11 o'clock that morning for a checkup, a pulmonary checkup. And he took some blood and he said, Kenny? And I said, yes. I said, this is not a call you want at 11:30. On New Year's. I don't think Dr. May Lu is calling me to wish me a happy New Year. And he said to me, I just needed to tell you that one of the blood tests came back and I'm a little concerned. Your D-dimer is very, very high. And that's an indicator, an initial indicator, that perhaps there's something of a pulmonary embolism type of situation that I really, really would like to check. Now, normally, Kenny, I wouldn't be alarmed because there are many ways that the D-dimer can be raised. And you didn't show any of the, you know, traditional symptoms of having any issues with your breathing when I saw you today, et cetera. He says, but tomorrow's New Year's Day and our office is closed. Normally I'd have you come in tomorrow and we just check it out. And there's a simple scan test that the CT scan test that we can take just to rule out. Kenny, I don't feel that there's any, but I think you should go to the emergency room and have that test done. I said, wow, here it is, New Year's Eve. I'm sitting by myself in the house with the cats that we have, and And my wife and my kids and my grandkids and my mother-in-law are, you know, about 15, 20 minutes away in Belmore. I'm saying, well, what do I do? Do I ignore the healthcare guy? And no, I can't do that. What do I do? So long story short, I went to the hospital and I called my wife on the way and I said, I'm going to the emergency room at North Shore Hospital. And long story short, you see a real slice of Americana in a emergency room on New Year's Eve. But I was taken care of. It was done very, you know, quickly. I had the test. Then they saw something that indicated they wanted to do some more work. They ruled out some things. Long story short, I got admitted and spent 3 days in the hospital, January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, last year. But that's not the point of the conversation. The point of the conversation is last night, I also celebrated that anniversary of four generations with my mother-in-law, Anne, 87 years young now, and with my wife, Ronnie, and of course, the children, Emily, and my son-in-law, Aaron, and the two grandchildren. Now, one of them wasn't sleeping all night. She's running around, Anna B, and Leia, of course, is a bigger girl and just a joy to be with. So some things stay the same, even though it's a new year, but some things are still a little different because, again, I couldn't make it till the ball dropped at around 10:30, quarter to 11. We had a wonderful dinner we brought in, and we're in the bubble. And I think it's important to note that we are very much adhering to the social distancing, to the masking, to the fact that celebration can occur if it does occur in a safe environment. So the bubble that we had, we didn't go out and do anything for 2 weeks before New Year's. My mother-in-law stopped doing everything that she was doing and all of the things that we really concerned that when we did get together, that we would be safe. So I didn't make it to the ball drop. And at about 10:30, I said, yeah, I got to go. And we always take two cars in this regard, because Ronnie knows me after 42 years of marriage, that I just don't stay up too late. And I went home and I kind of sat down in the chair again. The cats are still here and they're looking to get fed. And, you know, they're looking for their New Year's treats. But I'm exhausted. I'm sitting in the chair and I'm watching. I'm kind of hanging on because this year I wanted to see the ball drop. I wanted to make it. I wanted to see the chapter change. It's not closing at all to what we're dealing with, but it is changing. It is showing that hope. It is showing that when you change from 1 year calendar to a next, you just start with a new page. And how you fill that page is unknown. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody can predict. So in the first episode I had of this Care One Direct conversation, oh, the long story is I'm watching and it's 10 to 12 and Ryan is there. I saw J-Lo, amazing performance, et cetera. And I'm just sitting there, I'm very calm and things like that. And my eyes must have closed because I opened them up and it was 10 after 12. So that 20 minutes, I'll never get back. I missed the ball dropping. But I really didn't, because that 20 minutes was kind of like a consultation I must have been having with myself about how I was wanting to take care of myself and my loved ones for 2021, which is the focus of Care One Direct. We're going to talk to you, and hopefully you'll listen. We're going to do outreach for you because you are the patient. The pharmacist is the patient in this regard because you can't deal with patient care unless you take care of yourself. So I'm hoping that all of our Pharmacy Podcast Nation friends realize that the Association of Concierge Service Providers was developed for you. And our leaders are going to ask for 100 days. 100 days. Give us 100 days, and let's see how many people we can vaccinate. And let's see how close we can get to herd immunity. And let's see what these next 100 days are. So I called my sister this morning in Israel. I said, Judy, I said, you're my oldest living relative, blood relative, my sister in Israel. And, you know, these 100 days are going to be very challenging for all of us. But let's kind of journal it. Let's kind of create a journal of what those 100 days are. Because that's history we're writing. And we do have a goal. The goal is to be in a better place 100 days from now. So it brought me to thinking of what our next conversation will be. It's going to be about creating what we're going to call a sweet-ass journal. And that sweet-ass journal was developed by a woman who I met. Her name is Caitlin Grenier. And it was about optimizing your diabetic lifestyle in 100 days. And I can tell you, when I met Caitlin Grenier several months ago, when she was teaching at the academy, teaching our students how to deal with diabetic situations, I was introduced to one of the most beautiful and brilliant people I've ever met on my way to being a care provider. Caitlin is the co-author of The Sweet-Ass Journal to Optimize Diabetic Lifestyle. Because Caitlin is a diabetic and she embraces every aspect, every bit of that journey, and she glows and she exudes happiness and health and positive feelings. And we met through this Care One Academy, and we're going to still be with this Care One Academy. But Caitlin Grenier is one of the co-founders of the Association of Concierge Service Providers. She just doesn't know it yet, because I'm telling her now how much we care about her and how much of an impact she's made on my life and how much of an impact she will make on everyone's life as she teaches and empowers and educates all of our pharmacists, PharmDs, and students of pharmacy how to party like a healthcare provider and never give up. And that's the spirit that 2021 has. So my next conversation will be about introducing you to Caitlin Grenier, my diabuddy for life. Thank you.